السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. My Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Abdullah mentioned about the boy who had something written, energy saving mode. So I thought of another incident. When my friend mentioned this to me, it made me understand that when a person is in ignorance, then even where they have shauk and desire to please Almighty Allah, but because the person, the individual, doesn't really know what Allah wants. And what I'm going to speak about after that is that we are so fortunate that we're supposed to know what Allah wants. But when there is ignorance and the person doesn't really know what Allah wants, then sometimes they try so hard to make Allah happy. And in that same action, they collapse. So my one friend, he went to a certain country, where because of ignorance, the organizers, they felt, let's have a youth program like this youth program. And the thought came in one of the people's minds that we have to give the message so loud that every youngster will go away taking this message. So normally you can say, why don't you give out the water container and put a nice sticker around it? One advice. You make a nice banner, you make an advice. Everyone thinking. But this man thought of something unique. So what he did, he made skippers. And the girls who were going to now go and take out the food. So the boys would all sit at the different tables. And then girls, young girls were told, you all will take out food. And he made a skipper for them, and on the skipper it was written, if you think I'm hot, then the fire of Jahannam is hotter. So when he landed there, and he's looking at this, number one, he's not supposed to look at it. But what a message it gave him, he remembered it for years after that. But that individual, only one thing he missed, what a thought he had. But he missed one thing, that he never knew what Allah wanted from him. We are honored in this world that we are that one creation where Almighty Allah made it so clear to us what I want. There were animals, there is angels, there is animals, there is jinn, and then there is man. From the speech of Almighty Allah, the angels have been blessed with a speech which is called Kalam Tashrifi. That Almighty Allah spoke to the angels, but it was a speak of honor, and it was not going to result in anything further. The angel would be spoken to by Almighty Allah, like how a man today will go to a machine and press a button. The machine will go on. بَلْ عِبَادٌ مُكْرَمُونَ Allah says, what servants they are of Allah. Whatever Allah orders, immediately they go about and doing it. The speech Almighty Allah made to them is called Tashrif. In honor he spoke to them, but there will be no result after. It will not be when the angel goes into sajda that Allah will say to all the other angels, look at this angel. It will not be when the angel stands in qiyam, Allah will say to the angels, look at my angel. It will not be when a servant pulls away from sin, where Almighty Allah will say to the angels, look at my servant. It will not be, and an angel will not, they do not fall sin, there is no such thing called Tawbah by angels. It is when man will cry to Allah that Almighty Allah will say, what makes Arafat when you're going for Hajj? If someone has to say Ibadat makes Arafat, then you'll say Ibadat takes place in the heavens and the earth. وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِ Everything is in the tasbih of Almighty Allah. Everything. From the top right to the bottom, everything is unique. How Allah made everything. The more the world is investigating and seeing, every new animal, every new creation, itself is just singing the praise of Almighty Allah. It's singing it with its lips. It's singing it with its body. It's singing it with its nature. Ibadat is throughout. On a recent safar, we had the chance to go in what is called a submarine. When before I got the chance, I was like really thrilled, like I'm going in a submarine, but after I entered it, there was nothing much about it. So if ever you think about submarine, you rather just say they don't worry about any reen.
But as we went down, one unique thing in the submarine was, the one fish I saw, that they said there's one male and many females. One male and many females. And the male's job is to now have his relationship with as many females as possible so that the tribe can continue. But after the male engages in relations with about 15, 20, 30, 40, whatever number, it becomes too much for the male. So the male then dies. After he dies, Allah Tabarakallah made a system that the female who's the highest of that class, she becomes a male. So I'm looking at that fish now, wondering. That female starts becoming a male. And then it converts into a male and it starts having relations. And then when the relations reach a certain point which is too much, that female who became a male dies. And as soon as that one dies, another one becomes a male. Now so many relations is taking place, so many babies are being born, and there's no need for a male to come from outside, the female becomes the male. But the question comes now, that when there are so many babies in the water, then the water will be filled with this fish. So Almighty Allah has created another fish. That fish is like blind. It's not very good of seeing. But it can pick up one fish which got a good color. So I think this fish is that one that got that good color. So it can only see this fish in the water, can't see anything else. So that blind fish is told, your sustenance is only this fish. And then he will eat it. And they say, look at this. The most the man could say who was explaining it is, nature is wonderful. And right there in the bottom of the water, I'm saying, Allah's Qudrat on top. Allah's Qudrat right at the bottom also. Every animal. We went to a park on a certain occasion. The man who's telling us about elephants. He says, you know, nature, you must never play with nature. He says nature, we will say Allah's system, don't ever interfere. He says never play with nature. He says in the spark they tried an experiment that the water holes were at very far distances. So they noticed that for the elephant to get the chance to drink water, it has to leave in the morning and make a very long walk. After it drinks its water, it has to walk again. So someone very kind to the elephant thought that if in between I make another water hole, I just dig, rain will come, it will fill up, and then the poor elephant, the elephant is big in size, for him to walk so far. So they made, in that park they made many of these holes. And after a few years they noticed that there were too many elephants in the park. So when we were there I asked the person, why are they not killing the elephants like? Because the elephants have become a hazard. Everywhere elephants. So that's when he said, never play with nature. He says, they made all these water facilities. What happens? He said, the elephant in the morning when he would go for his water, instead of walking now so far and reaching there only 12 o'clock, he was getting to the water by 9 o'clock. Drinking, bathing, cleaning, after that the elephant had nothing to do. Because he had nothing to do, he went looking for the female elephant. Female, male, the park, he said, got so many elephants now, that the people are asking, can we not shoot dead the elephants? So he said, never mess with nature. He said, finally they went and they closed all those holes again, and told elephant, start walking please. Start talking. Nature. He said, don't play with nature. Allah's Qudrat on top. Allah's Qudrat in the bottom. On the plains of Arafat, what is the unique thing? It is that animals whose body, whose nature, whose tongue is seeking, singing the praises of Allah. And angels who are always in the praise of Allah. They are unable to do one thing which man can do. And that is to say, Allah, I'm sorry. That is what Arafat is. And that is what made man so unique. It was called Kalam Taklifi. Where Almighty Allah was going to give a speech to man, which was called, we are known as Mukallaf. We heard the word takleef. Normally you tell your friend, don't give me takleef. Takleef means this is hard. Hard speech is the hissa, is the portion of man. The angels were not going to get hard speech. And normally when someone is hard, you say, don't be hard. But for man, hard speech of Allah is an honor. It was for this hard speech that the Anbiya alayhimus salam was sent. That Almighty Allah's speech, which was going to create difficulty, which was going to create honor, it was selected for one group of people, that's me and you. And now me and you need to learn how to relate with the speech. It is called mukallaf, kalam taklifi. It is speech making life hard. And normally in the world, when you say speech making life hard, you say, why are you making life hard? But the prince also says to his father, the king, that I want to sleep till 10 o'clock. Why are they always waking me up? And the father says to the prince, because you are born to be a king. If I do not prepare you today for being a king, the enemy will overthrow you tomorrow. Instead of sitting on the throne, you will be in the bottom of the dungeon. If I don't get you up early, my son, if I don't take you through the day through your causes, if I don't keep you away from certain things, if I don't make the tadrib of you, teach you to learn to say no, then tomorrow when the enemy overthrows you, you will not be sitting like your father on the throne, you will be in the bottom of the dungeon. Tomorrow you will not be eating the best of food, you will be having rats and mice to eat. They'll feed you whatever they want. They will hit you, they will abuse you, they will mock you. Then the father will say, my speech which is hard is only hard, my son, because I love you. Almighty Allah's kalam e taklifi, that speech which is hard, it did not come on animals. Animals were just created. وَالْأَنْعَامَ خَلَقَهَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْءُ وَمَنَافِعُ Allah says, I made the animals for you. Hard speech was going to be for the prince. Everything else was just going to operate like robots. The animals were going to be around. Allah said, I made them. لَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْءُ وَمَنَافِعُ You want to get warm, you'll find warmth in the animals. You will cut them, you will take their skin. You want any other benefit, you want meals, you want supper, you want lunch, the animal will give you. وَتَحْمِلُ أَثْقَالَكُمْ إِلَىٰ بَلَدٍ لَمْ تَكُونُوا بَالِغِي إِلَّا بِشِقِّ الْأَنْفُسِ He says, this animal, put your load on the animal, elephant, camel, and just hit the animal and it will walk. That animal will carry your goods to places where you were never going to reach. It was going to be difficult for you. He said, I made the animals for you. That animal was not going to get hard speech. Because it was not going to get hard speech, it would be deprived of something called intelligence. Aqal. Which ulama have mentioned a nice sentence, sometimes having no intelligence is a gift. They said, imagine the sheep had intelligence. You will see it Qurbani time, when the farmer has to chase the sheep. You just need one sheep to run in a certain direction and all the sheep will run. Imagine you had intelligent sheep. And that night they started saying that, you know, last year Qurbani time, this date, I got it on my phone. There were another 300, they never survived. He said, every year when this date comes and you see these guys with kurta. So he says, tonight the way they're feeding us, hugging us, smiling at us, it happened last year. So that night they start plotting the sheep. They say, we have to get out of here no matter what. Now the sheep look at that fence. So the one says to the other, you know, if you jump on me like, and another one jumps, we'll create a ladder. And slowly, slowly at night, we'll just jump, 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 and we're gone, one after the other, one after the other, and get out for your life. They say, you'll try and catch one, the other one will go on. The sheep can think. But what will the sheep think? That night also they just carry on eating, like normal. No intelligence was put in the sheep, because they were not going to be given that hard speech of Almighty Allah. So they never needed their intelligence. They were created to do one purpose. To be meat for someone, to be wool for someone, to be a conveyance for someone. And the day when it comes to an end, then the sheep, the goats, the camels, the elephants were going to be told, turn to dust. And that sheep would never, ever, ever see after that day anything. On the day of Qiyamah, perhaps that sheep would be made to stand. If there was two sheep, where there was a matter of oppression took place, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if that ever happened with animals, then Allah will let two animals stand. And He will say to the one, that this animal knocked you, knock it back, finished. It will just give one knock, and then both animals will be told, disappear. And they're gone. The end. The animal world had no real beginning, and it got no end. There is no mighty future for it. Dust. Gone. Then there were the jinn. Jinn were going to be given hard speech of Almighty Allah, but not directly. They would always have to be through man. Indirectly. Almighty Allah would speak to man, and the jinn had to hear. Nabi Musa alayhi salam came with his kalam. He spoke to man. The jinn that believed became the followers of Musa alayhi salam. Amongst the jinn would a Nabi come, no Nabi would come to the jinn. Their nature is, they are prone to naughtiness. They are prone to lies. Even if you get a pious jinn, a jinn that wears kurta, sometimes nowadays the world of the jinn has opened up in a very bad manner. How people in the past thought the jinn are scary, unfortunately today we're hearing people saying that some of the jinn are good. You definitely get good jinn, but you can't trust the good jinn. As for the evil jinn, who think they are called shaitan? The good jinn can never be trusted. If there was one good jinn in the world, from the time of Nabi Adam alayhi salam, Allah would have made that jinn a Nabi. Not one jinn was made a Nabi because they are prone to lies. But today we're finding in our circles that good people, they are finding a jinn for whatever reason. And the jinn starts speaking and they get shocked like. And the jinn says, I was there in Adam alayhi salam's time. He gets even more shocked. Then the jinn starts taking him down through the ages until it finally comes to ours there when your mother-in-law was a young girl. He says, huh? He says, you know, when she was young, she went through a lot of emotions, stress. He says, that's why she behaves how she behaves. He says, then your mother-in-law, now when he started from Adam alayhi salam, where is going to think jinn can be lying now? We have heard about certain friends in their trust of their jinn have become so involved in evil that believing the jinn, they are now saying that they are the Mahdi because the jinn told them, you are the Mahdi. Then the jinn said, not the Mahdi, you are Khidr. Then the jinn said that you have been selected. There is one friend, Allah take him out of his dirt. A jinn took him so far in evil that it has finally led him to believe that Khidr, the Nabi of Allah or the selected of Allah, Khidr has appointed him to infiltrate the world of the shaitan. I don't know how you infiltrate. So to infiltrate it, he has been told by Khidr. This is a jinn, but he believes it to be Khidr. He has been told by the jinn that you must become so bad, so bad, so bad that Iblis finally will make you his second in charge. This boy believes now that whatever sin he does, he gets sawab. Because he's trying to infiltrate the dungeon of the devil. What and what he must have done and he continues doing, Allah save him and save the people around him. Who can even believe in this? But what made them believe? The jinn. I went to one town. They told me in this town, this one boy said that the jinn army is ready. There's 10,000 on this side, 10,000 on that side. The war is going to take place in 6 months. I said, in this town, like. I said, this town is not on the map also. Where they came here and here? I said, who told you this? Then this one boy's name came. I said, where he's gone? The jinn. Forget that boy. Allah save him all, me and you. If ever in the near future something happens, and it is going to happen because this world of technology has opened up a door for shaitan and jinn to infiltrate. In the next few years we are going to see the world of robots. You can call it robots, you can call it artificial intelligence, you can call it ChatGPT, you can call it the eye, you can call it the ball, whatever you want to call it. Everything will be centered around something that is not man. We might see it as a robot and we'll feel at ease. Remember my words that it is a robot, but behind the robot something else is operating. The one that's operating behind that robot, which needed the intelligence of man, jinn were not going to be given that hard speech of Allah, because their level of intelligence was also not like the level given to man. A jinn's nature is, he is what we can call stupid. He can change immediately. He can turn around very fast. He can think he's very clever, but he makes the stupidest of moves. That's a jinn. A jinn hasn't got a thought. Iblis saw what Nabi Adam alayhi salam saw. Adam alayhi salam made an error. Iblis made an error. As soon as Adam alayhi salam made an error, he ate from where he was not supposed to eat. Immediately he realized the only way out is to say sorry. As for Iblis, from the beginning of that time to now must be about 10,000 years. 10,000 years have passed and his intelligence cannot make him realize you can't fight against Allah. All you have to do is say sorry, finish. But they don't have that level. If ever you fall into some sihr, some jinn issue because of our relationship with robots, and then you are forced to go to someone you call an amil, and the amil will show you a jinn, please do not ever believe the jinn. Whoever started talking, listening to the jinn, they are up till today still talking and listening. They broke their lives, they broke their families, their wives left them, their families left them, and they still believe they're the only one right and everyone is wrong. They began listening to the jinn. Allah spoke to the jinn through man. The jinn, if they are good and they survive in good, they'll get a paradise, but not man's paradise. So now jinn is out. Animals out. Angels, Almighty Allah spoke to them, but it wasn't hard speech. So there was no result after. That if you listen to me today, I'll promise you I'll make you happy tomorrow. It wasn't. Now came to man. Man was the only one who was going to get kalam, speech, taklifi, which makes life hard. Please remember this. The speech which makes life hard is an honor, it's not a disgrace. It is the key to paradise, it is not a punishment. So we might say, why must I wake up for Fajr? Why must I fast in Ramadan? Why can't I look where I want to look? Why can't I just build, make, earn, enjoy? Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib Rahimullah said that if you wanted, then you could have just said, make me an animal. But remember the animal, be the lion in the jungle. Go see the lion. Either you'll see the lion just walking into a new pride. Then he's fighting. He got all scratches around him. Then he got all flies around his nose. Then he's a little old, his own son who becomes the next lion kills the male lion. Kills him or kicks him out. Now he has to walk alone. Now he's fighting with the elephant. You might just look at the lion and say how lucky the lion is. He can do what he wants. Whoever can do what he wants, wallah, is not lucky. That lion lives a hard life and when he dies, it's finished. Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib Rahimullah asked the question, you want to be an animal? If Allah created us just to build, then in the world of the animals, you got top builders. But those builders were not going to get something else after. Which means me and you were not created to be builders. You will see a bird, how it makes its nest. Fast, fast, fast. In, out, in, out, in, out, straws. I saw those nests. Some of those nests we found when a storm came in the town, the houses fell, but that nest remained hanging. You wonder, how strong is that nest? If that bird said, you want to see an engineer, I am the engineer. Engineering was given to them, it was given to us. Politics were given to them, was given to us. Go look at the hive of the bee. You will see how all the bees first have to elect a queen. Then they feed the queen. Then the queen stands in charge. Then you got the one place in the nest, honey. You got one place, babies. You got one place, workers. And the queen just looks. Then if ever you look by a nest, a hive, you will find that there's some dead bees. Some of them, their necks are cut. People investigated who cuts the necks of bees. Who pokes them so hard? Then they found out sometimes one bee brings from a plant it was not supposed to bring. So because it brings harmful substance, they pick up that, what are you doing to our honey? Immediately the queen bee will give the command, kill that bee. After they kill the bee, they can just throw it away. No, they put it outside, right there at the entrance. So that the other bees are told, if you mess around, your neck is also going. Politics. If we got politics, they got politics. And if we got chores and people bringing the wrong things in, they also got. Only in South Africa, no one cuts the chores' necks. At least they cutting the necks. Here in South Africa, the queen bee say, bring me also some more. Where you stole from? Get me also. Slight difference. But they got politics. They got engineering. They got it all. What they haven't got? Because of which a day is going to come, they say, become dust. And the engineer bird will be dust. There's one bird that goes in the sky, I forgot the name. One friend told me about it. He said, people have taken a picture of those birds as they fly. And as they fly in one motion. In a unique motion, like wherever they're going. So if one turn is made, that calculation, what they have written now, is like it works so fast, so fast, so fast, that the next bird has to understand, I can't bang into this bird because they're moving at a very fast speed. You see sometimes jets. Jets are moving so fast and they do their stunts, but between them there's still some space. These birds are moving so close to each other. And as soon as one makes a move, everyone has to make an identical move. Otherwise one will bang the other. So this person said, amazing that is like. You know how fast they calculate all of this here? And not one accident. So many of them, so many. And their minds work so fast. Not one of them banged. He said, amazing. I told him, what's more amazing to me is that many of those birds are females. To see so many females moving in the same direction and none of them fighting, that's more amazing to me also. Say, we can't get three of them in one house until they start screaming. Ah! Those birds, how they fly. If you want to see master pilots, master maneuverers, they got it. But those birds, when the time comes, become dust. All of them are dust. The lions are dust. The elephants are dust. Why me and you will not become dust? What do we have? We have something that the animals don't have. And that is the kalam taklifi, where Allah said, I want you to do something. I want you to do. Qari Muhammad, Murana Qasim Nanotwi Rahimullah, who is the founder, the principal of Darul Uloom Dioband. At a very young age, he passed away, perhaps when he reached about 40. By that time, he had created the madrasa. Perhaps 30 also, 30, 35, he passed away. But he made the madrasa and then how it flourished in the world. Allah Tabarakallah blessed him with the mastery of munazara. He could compete. So if somebody had to ever make objections against Islam, from very far he would go and he would give answers and he would silence that person. So what we call this Arya Samaj group in India, the founder of it at that time was also very good at speaking. And in a certain place where he was, he had certain debates. And then in his pride, he told the people, you all are hopeless. If I want to debate, I want to debate with that Qasim. Call him. Where is that Qasim? So from very far, they told Mawlana Qasim Nanotwi that this man is making a big statement. And at that time, he was not well. But because of this debate, then he made that journey. It was quite a long journey. And he took along with him a group of his selected friends. When they came there, it was night time. So he's resting and he told his friend, Munshi Nihal Ahmad, that you go now at night and you go and meet with this person. And then you discuss that tomorrow we're having this debate, there are certain conditions. So when he goes there now, it's supper time. So they tell Munshi Nihal, you wait here, and our Hazrat is eating. So as he's sitting there now, he sees that they're taking plates inside. Whoever his worker is, they're taking a plate, and another plate, and another plate. So he's sitting and wondering, like, okay, I wonder now, he's eating, how many people he must be eating with? So he worked out, there must be about 15, 20 people, because plates, plates, plates. Then after a while, they came and told him that you can come in now, he's finished with his supper. So he enters the room now, he's looking now, because no one came out. And there's no doors. So he said, now where did all the guests go? So he spoke now to this person who's going to debate tomorrow. He was quite a big size person. And as he's walking out, he asked the khadim, where's all the other people? He said, which people? He said, who joined him for supper? He said, no one joined him for supper. He ate all that himself. So now he's looking now. So he went back now. Now when they're sitting, as friends sit now, Qasim Nanatwi is somewhere else, but they're sitting and discussing. So as a joke, he said, you know, this guy is big and he eats big. He said, I'm so scared tomorrow that if they have to have a debate on knowledge, then I know our Hazrat is going to beat him. But he says, what if this elephant says tomorrow that let's start the debate on eating? He said, you know, our Hazrat can't even have small breakfast and he says, I'm full. He said, this man will eat Hazrat up also. So everyone started laughing. But Mullah Qasim Nanotvi, you always get one person who will take the joke. So he took the joke like that. This guy is, watch out, he mustn't eat you tomorrow. So he called Munshi and he said, like, what you said yesterday? So he got a little scared. He said, who told you, like? He said, no, don't get scared. I want to hear it from you, but I already know what joke you're making. Don't mock at me, like, I don't eat. But, like, I want to give you an answer to your sentence. So he mentioned that, like, I just joked that if he tells you today, let's compete in eating. So he said, first I'll give you what we call a ilzami jawab. Ilzami jawab means it's not a real answer, but it's a knockout answer. He said, the knockout answer is, he says, you know, whenever I come for my debates, I don't come alone. I always bring people like you, good for nothings. So that if the debate has to be on knowledge, then I'll go front. And he'll say, who's here to eat? I'll say, you're lovely, yeah? You all love eating. I brought you all for that. If tomorrow you say, let's eat, I'll say, here's my jamaat. They love eating. So then he smiled. He said, the real answer, but... And then his face changed first to show a little anger. And he says, how could you even think of such a stupid thing? That a man can ever debate in who can eat more? He says, is that something to debate about? He says, you debate about something which shows your perfection. You don't debate about something that shows your weakness. He says, if the man wants to debate about eating, I'll bring the sheep and goats. He says, I'll bring a camel. If he's still winning the race, I'll bring the elephant. He says, do you debate about who can eat? He says, rather, if you want to debate about who can't eat. He says, because the elephant can't do that, we can do that. He says, lock me up and lock him up in a room for 6 months and send no food in that room. After 6 months, you open my door and you'll see I'll come out as fresh as I am now. He says, you want to debate in something that shows what's man, doesn't show what's an animal. At the end of his life, Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahimullah said, Allah has given me a gift now. That I now only eat because it's the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If I have to stop eating now, it will not harm my health one bit. He said, tell that man, let's debate. Who can't eat? Who holds back? What he was trying to say is, our kamal, our perfection, is where Almighty Allah said, I want you to do something hard. But that hard speech is not a disgrace. That hard speech was to make us who we are. Take away that hard speech and we are animals. Then we rather become the elephant and the camel who just disappear. Worse than that is the non-believer. وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. The disbeliever will look at the animals and he will say, you becoming dust. I rather become dust because I'm going to be fuel for the fire of Jahannam. I rather become sand, I'm going to get burnt. We don't want to be burnt in Jahannam. We don't want to be dust. We don't want to be a jinn because the jinn is regarded as stupid in nature. What's the last thing left? The last thing is to be the one who says, I am happy to receive the speech of Allah which made life hard. I am happy to receive the speech of Allah which made life hard. If I happily accept that speech, Fajr is still going to be hard for me. But now hard will be enjoyable. Because Fajr time when I hear the Muazzin saying Allahu Akbar, I'll think of the animal. I don't want to be an animal. Then I'll think of the kafir who say, I'd rather be an animal. I say, I don't want to be a kafir. Then who's left? You say, I'd rather be one who says, Allah, even if it's hard, I accept your speech. And I stood up. Now a girl will walk past me, pretty, beautiful. How I wanted my wife to look, but she never looked. I found her now today. Say, where were you all along? Like every man as the years go. Why did Islam say, don't look? Why did Islam say, don't look? One person was looking, his friend said to him, you are not supposed to look. He said, I'm enjoying the creation of Allah. But that man who talks rubbish, you think he enjoys anything? When he goes home, what he couldn't get there with that woman, even the enjoyment he could have found with his wife, Allah takes it away. He loses out there, he loses out here. It's called khasira dunya. He lost his world, wal akhirah, he lost the year after. He looked at one woman. Hazrat Rakim Sahib say, you looking only, but you can't give, you can't take. So you looked at one, it where Allah said, don't do it. You said, why are you making life hard for me? He said, accept my hard command, because my hard command makes life easy. But the man said, no, I'm looking. But he got nothing out of it. He went back, he had a halal wife. Allah took away all love. He started fighting. His children hated him because you're fighting with our mother. His family hated him because you're always fighting. His father-in-law, mother-in-law hated him. You're always fighting. And in the ending, at night, he's angry with the world. That why is everyone so bad? And he forgot, had I accepted Allah's one speech, which made life hard, everything would have been made easy. Khasira dunya, he lost his world, wal akhirah, in the year after, that eye still has to get punished. Is it worth it? So when you will see hard days, my message to you is think of this. We are the only ones honored with the hard speech of Allah. It is not a punishment, it's an honor. You will take the hard speech today, you will get something unique tomorrow. Inna lil muttaqina mafaza. Almighty Allah says, what a pass mark you will get. Hadaiqa. I'll give you gardens. I will give you grape orchards. Wa a'naba. Wa kawa'iba atraba. If you are looking for the prettiest of companions, if you are looking for the best of wives, you are looking for the best of females on your side, Allah has explained what is going to come in that world. Just to understand this, وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابَ. أَتْرَابَ means the age you want. Normally in this world, when someone gets married, he always says, she's young. But you ask her, will she remain young? She herself says, I'm not going to remain young. Soon I'm going to be a mother. Then I'm going to be a granny. Then the one who yesterday was standing so straight and so smart, now everything has lost its tightness. It has become loose. Her cheeks are loose. Her eyes are falling. Her jaws are not holding. There is something by this one vein. Sometimes it's affected. You will see spit coming out from you. When you were young, you said, I wish I could just kiss that lip. Now when that spit is coming out, you don't want to see that lips. Now she's bending. She's no longer straight. And the boy is the same. Can anyone keep his stiffness in this world? Allah says, there I will create that your stiffness will remain. وَكَوَاعِبَ. The shape will remain. The body shape will remain. Whichever part of the body you want it tight, it will remain. وَكَوَاعِبَ. If you're looking for entertainment, you're looking for enjoyment, you'll have to take Allah's hard speech today to make life easy tomorrow. Hard speech. وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابَ. وَكَأْسًا دِحَاقًا. And Allah says, I promise you, your glass will always be full in that world. Where in this world, we'll always say, what I wanted, I never got. Allah says, there your glass will always be brimming. Whatever you will ask for. It is only a few days. I got a few days, 30 or 40. You got 30 or 40. In the next few years, technology will open up to a level we could never believe. It happened so fast, it's going to happen faster. As it's moving, we will always think of this. Do I want to be a jinn? Then don't be amazed by the jinn. Do I want to be an animal and become dust? Then don't ever say, I wish I was free like the animals. Do I want to be the kafir who will say, I wish I can become dust? Then who else is left? You say, I am happy to be me. I am so happy to be me. When you will think of this, you will read this one verse with a lot of pleasure. رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا. I am so happy that Allah is my Allah. وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا. I am so happy that submission is my way. Islam means I submit. I am so happy submission is my way. And I am so happy that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is my Nabi. May Allah tabarak ta'ala grant me and you this. Think of this. Do I want to be a jinn? Do I want to be the animal who will become dust? Do I want to be the kafir who will wish his dust? Or do I want to be me? And then tomorrow Fajr, when the muazzin says, come for salah, then I'll say, the animal is not being called. That jinn perhaps is not going to listen. The kafir, where will he ever give an ear? Who's left? He say, it's me. Let me go for the salah. May Allah tabarak ta'ala make it is a hard speech of Allah. But whoever held on to that hard speech, he found life in this world became easy. In the qabr became easier. On the plains of hashr will be very easy. And after that it just gets better on the way on. Whoever never took to that hard speech, then he finds that life only got harder after. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.